welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, and this week we take you back to 79 Wistful Vista Lane, the home of Fibber McGee and Molly. We have two episodes of this long-running comedy show to delight you today. First, we have an episode in which Molly receives flowers from a secret admirer. You'll notice that Molly goes off to put the flowers in a vase before the little girl arrives at the door. That is because Marion Jordan does the voice of the little girl as well as Molly. Arthur Q. Bryan plays Dr. George Gamble, who solves the mystery of the flowers in this episode of Fibber McGee and Molly, first broadcast January 18, 1944, on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Carnew, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Blowcoat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. Many philosophers have pointed out to us that the one thing we can count on in life for certain is change. It may be imperceptible from day to day, but there's a constant change taking place all around us. And in household things, it's usually a change for the worse. Well, to help prevent or at least delay that deterioration, we paint many surfaces and we wax our floors, furniture, and woodwork. Today, more and more surfaces of all kinds, including leather, linoleum, and metal, are being protected with Johnson's Wax. Why? Well, for one reason, wax is impervious to moisture. The wax film, as long as it endures, offers remarkable resistance to aging and to the wear and tear of normal use. What's more, it's easy to apply additional coats of Johnson's Wax as they're needed, so that almost a permanent protection can be achieved against wear and against dirt. Now, you don't ordinarily think this problem through when you apply Johnson's Wax to the many surfaces around your home, but it will really pay you to understand just how and why Johnson's Wax does give such lasting protection to your things at such small cost and with a large net saving in work, plus an increase with every application in the beauty of every room in your home. Somebody is knocking at the door of 79 Wistful Vista, the home of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly. Hey, there's somebody at the door with a package.
How do you know it's somebody with a package?
Well, he knocked. If he had his hands free, he'd ring the bell.
If he had his hands free to knock, he's got his hands free to ring the bell.
Oh, not necessarily. You can knock with your feet or your knees, but did you ever try to ring a doorbell with...
Oh, for goodness sakes, I'll get it.
Okay.
Who is this the residence of?
Never end a sentence with a proposition. And if you must know, this is the house that Mr. and Mrs. McGee live in.
What do you got, Bud?
Package for Mrs. Fibber McGee. Sign here, please.
Oh, a package for me? Oh, who's it from?
That lady will forever remain a mystery with me, as I am only an individual which has been entrusted by the parcel delivery company to lay this precious burden in your pale white hands. And get your mitts off that package, Doc. It's for the lady.
Well, I'm her husband.
Leave us not delve into the strange ways of women, comrade. Sign here, please.
I'll sign for it. There you are.
Thanks, madam.
And if you'll take my advice, you untavern Duffy, you'll keep a civil tongue in your face.
Restrain yourself, mister. Was I consigned with a future in the profession of parcel delivery, I would eagerly drink in your poils of wisdom. But inasmuch as soever that I am tomorrow morning being induced into the armed forces, you may button your kisser.
Fresh mug. Fresh guy. If it wasn't that I didn't want to maim a future second lieutenant, I'd have parted his nose with a knuckle.
I wonder who this package is from. I don't remember ordering anything.
Well, one way to find out would be to open it up.
Heavenly days, flowers. Oh, and what a lovely bouquet. Oh, McGee, you sweet, thoughtful man. Give Mother a kiss.
Oh, I can't.
You can't? Why not?
Well, it'd be under false pretenses. I didn't send those flowers.
You didn't? Well, who did?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were delivered by mistake. I hope.
Well, I'll see if there's a card in the box. Ho-ho!
What's it say?
It says, "Please think of me." Signed, Ralph.
Ralph? Who the Sam Hill is Ralph?
Ralph, now let me see. There was a Ralph Onslager in my geometry class. No, he has 8 children and is married.
Well, what Ralph is this? I want to know. I'm not going to have every anonymous Ralph in the country sending my wife flowers. By George, I'm going to...
Well, hello there, Molly, darling. And Fibber lad.
Hello, Uncle Dennis.
Hello, Uncle Dennis.
And what might you be celebrating this fine day with your handsome bunch of flowers and all, and McGee standing there with a silly expression on his puss? May them as loves cats forgive the loose use of the term, howsomever.
Well, I seem to have received these flowers from an anonymous admirer.
Yeah, well, he'll be anonymous till I catch up with him. Then he can easily be identified by his broken neck.
Well, now, isn't it a romantic thing? It reminds me of what happened to an old friend of mine by the name of Six Joseph O'Fegney, who was always trying to pick up a couple of bucks.
What did you say his name was?
Six Joseph O'Fegney. Well, it seems...
Hey, well, you mean his first name was Six?
It was that. It seems they didn't know what to name him when he was born, so they wrote several names on pieces of paper, and they put them in a hat. And his father, unfortunately, drew out the label. Yeah. His real name is 6 7/8 Joseph O'Fagan. His father being a small-headed man.
Now, look, Uncle Dennis, do you know anybody by the name of Ralph who would be sending me flowers?
Oh, my course, La. Anyone named Ralph who knew you would be wanting to send you flowers because you're the sweetest and lovely...
Oh, lay off of that mush, will you? Ever since you made that trip back to Ireland and kissed the Blarney Stone, you spread it on with a trowel.
Oh. Now, McGee, you know very well he went back to Ireland for his sister's wedding.
Oh, I did that. I couldn't resist it after getting a letter from Noreen that she was marrying an ostrich.
She was marrying a what?
An ostrich. Fella from Austria.
Now, you don't mean an ostrich, Uncle Dennis.
Oh, I don't.
Why, certainly not. A guy from Austria is an Austin.
Oh.
No, McGee, an Austin is a little automobile.
I thought that was a bantam.
Oh, no. Oh, lad, I can correct you there. A bantam is a lad who drops chandeliers on people's heads in the theater.
Huh?
Yeah, did you see the bantam of the opera? Hey, I took care of that one, didn't I? that was it. That was a fella, though, that bantam that...
The bantam of the opera.
Yes.
No, Uncle Dennis. No, that's phantom, you mean.
That means a spirit or
sure,
a ghost.
Sure.
Oh, well, fancy that now. My own little sister marrying a ghost. I thought he was a little thin, but nary a chain did he rattle nor a groan in the night. 'Twas a dirty trick he played on the girl, not telling her he was dead. Making her think he was a lad of spirit when all the time he was just the spirit of a lad. Oh, faith, begorra, bejabbers, whirra, 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 and other alleged Irish expressions.
Stage Irishman. All he needs is a clay pipe, a shamrock in his hat band, and 2 friends named Pat and Mike.
Never mind him, McGee. Look at these beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't they lovely?
Yeah.
And to think of me having an unknown admirer.
Don't worry. He'll become known when I lay my hands on him. He'll become known as Rattling Ralph, the rat with the retractable ribs.
Why, sweetheart, I do believe you're jealous.
Jealous my clavicle. It's merely that I got no use for a hothouse Casanova that... Hey, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to call a private detective and have these flowers traced. Hello, operator. Give me the J. Edgar Hooper Detective Agency. It's across the street from that hot dog stand. Huh? No. The hot dog stand. Huh? H-O-T-D-O-G, is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? What say, Mert? You did? Oh, got word that he's definitely going to run again this year, huh?
Is that official, McGee?
I think so. Well, I always said he'd run again, Mert. They got too much invested in him now to let him quit now.
Why, McGee, that's hard.
I'll never forget the time I saw him, Mert. It was the first time he'd won. Ah, what a hero. Standing there with his hair rippling in the breeze, eyes flashing, whinnying like...
Whinnying? Who are you talking about?
Whirl away. Mert says he's going to run again this year. What say, Mert? Oh, okay, I'll call later. By George, I'm going to find out who this Ralph is and why...
Billy Mills and the orchestra playing Thou Swell.
Please, I wish you wouldn't sing that. Anyways, here I am, seeing my home being busted up, my wife getting flowers from other guys, and I guess I'm just a failure.
Oh, don't talk like that, dearie.
Well, gee whiz.
Heavenly days, you make me sound like I've been hooping around town waving a pocket flask and dancing on tabletops.
Well, gee whiz.
I didn't ask this Ralph person to send me flowers.
Well, gee whiz. Something must have given the idea he could get away with it. You know the old saying, never go around with a married woman unless you can go five rounds with her husband.
Yes, but nobody's going around with me but you. Well, I'm very happy. Can I help it if a perfect stranger sends me flowers?
Well, no, but my guy's a perfect...
Oh, here's Alice Darling McGee. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, FM.
Hello, A.D. And I don't mean antediluvian.
What's antediluvian?
I don't know. That's why I don't mean it.
Jeepers, get a load of the flowers. Oh, you're lucky, Ducky, to have a man who loves you enough after all these years to send you $15 worth of flowers.
No, but he doesn't.
Why, I do, too.
Well, I mean, of course, that McGee didn't send these flowers.
Well, I would have if I'd have thought of it. My God, just because some homewrecker with more money than sense comes...
Oh, you don't think it shows good sense to send me flowers?
Why, sure it does. I didn't mean that. I mean, he's got no right to send flowers to married women.
Oh, but who sent them to you, Mrs. McGee?
Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah. They were sent as a dying request from one of my wife's admirers, Alice.
What makes you think he's dying?
If I catch him, I'll guarantee it.
Well, you mean you don't know who Ralph is?
Well, no. Do you?
Oh, I thought simply everybody knew about Ralph. He's always sending flowers to somebody.
Oh, he is he? Okay, Alice, give me the lowdown. Who is Ralph and what part of town does he crawl around in? When I get through with him, his own mother won't know him.
Oh, well, I guess I better not tell you, on account of I hate to think of such pretty flowers causing any trouble. I love flowers. I even wrote a poem about flowers when I was in school.
Oh, did you, dear? How did it go?
Oh, just fine.
She means, can you remember it?
Oh, of course. It was, I'm simply wild about flowers. I think all blossoms are dandy, but my favorite flowers for boys to bring me is candy. Gee, I wish Ralph would send me some flowers sometime.
Oh, this Ralph sends flowers to lots of women, does he? That's disgusting.
Oh, McGee, now you're acting like a jealous schoolboy.
I never know such a thing. I'm acting like any self-respecting married man that his wife gets flowers from strangers. By George, if they don't, hey, where are you going?
I'm going to put these flowers in the vase.
Right.
Have you seen the big blue one that Aunt Sarah gave us three Christmases ago?
Oh, that. That cheap little hunk of bric-a-brac.
Listen now, that's a very pretty vase, and I happen to know that Aunt Sarah paid a great deal for it.
Well, she took an awful rookin' then, if she did. Cheapest grade of glass I ever saw. My gosh, you can't even use it to crack a walnut with. Without it falling into a million pieces.
Fibber McGee, did you break that beautiful...
Well, hello, folks.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior.
Well, Molly, you look like a June bride, standing there with your arms full of flowers. Which reminds me, I think I'll send my wife a bouquet.
Oh, that's a nice thought, Mr. Wilcox. I'm sure she'll love it. I know I would.
What she's trying to say, Junior, is that I didn't send her those flowers.
Who did?
We don't know.
The card just says, please think of me, and was signed Ralph. Yeah.
Oh, Ralph. Oh, him.
Do you, know them?
You know who that... Doggone it, Wilcox. Tell me who he is and how big.
Well, let me tell you how I know him, pal.
Yeah?
You see, I have another friend who has an attractive wife, too.
Oh, thanks for the two.
And one day, while I was visiting them, you know, just sitting around the house talking, how Johnson's wax is so wonderful, particularly in the wintertime, because with the changes in temperature and humidity, the wax protection does so much to keep furniture and woodwork and floors in good shape.
That's what you're just sitting around talking about, huh? Just casual conversation.
Yeah.
Small talk.
Yeah.
Trivialities.
That's it.
You know, Molly, I've often seen those ads in the magazines where a lot of people are sitting around in evening clothes talking about how Charlie is so much happier now that he started wearing neat neck, snug, fast, jolly collar shirts. I never believed people did that. But to think of spending an evening with Wilcox. Oh, murder.
I think Mr. Wilcox could make Johnson's wax a very interesting subject.
Well, I can talk about other things.
You can?
Why, certainly. I also discuss subjects like economics.
Oh.
And I can prove how much money you can save over a period of years by using Johnson's wax on luggage, lampshades, windowsills, and enamel surfaces. Because with that protection, they look well and last so much longer.
You see, McGee?
I retract, Junior. You can change the subject.
Why, certainly.
You can go right from how Johnson's wax saves your furniture, boom, right into how Johnson's wax saves your woodwork. Baby, what a conversationalist.
Yes, but how about this Ralph, Mr. Wilcox?
Who?
Ralph, the guy that sent the married woman the flowers while you were just sitting around fascinating everybody with your sparkling dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we were, just talking.
Yes, we know about that.
And suddenly, the bell rings.
Door, fire, school, Swiss, alarm clock, church, or telephone?
Door.
Oh.
Well, it was a messenger with flowers. Beautiful, too. Had a card in them from Ralph.
Well, get to it, Wilcox. Get to it. Who is Ralph?
I've been trying to tell you, pal. He's the guy who keeps sending married women flowers.
Oh, sure.
I'll run over and ask these friends of mine if they ever found out who it was. I'll call you back.
I wonder if I would be unfair to Mr. Wilcox if I sometimes suspected he only comes in here to deliver a message about that Oh, I'm just being silly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Doggone it, Molly, I wish you'd stop burying your face in those flowers. You're enjoying them altogether too much.
Now, look, sweetheart, the flowers don't know who sent them. When I start burying my face in Ralph's manly shoulder, you'll have something to...
Don't talk like that. And if I ever lay my hands on that home-wrecking hyena, he won't have any shoulders. I'll tear him off so fast he'll have to go through life shrugging his hips.
Well, I'm sure it won't matter to me, dearie. He has a nice taste in flowers, and that's all I know about him. Now, I got to get these in some water, too, before they wilt.
Ah, there goes a good kid. She don't get all fluttery and giddy just because some patsy sends her a couple of petunias. Why, shucks, I wouldn't... Oh, boy, I hope that's Ralph in person. I'll hide the body under the coal pile till spring. I hope he's a small man. We haven't got much coal. Come in. Oh, hi, little girl.
Gee, what smells so good in here? Smells like flowers.
Yeah, probably my after-shaving lotion, sis.
Must be pretty strong stuff, mister. You haven't shaved since yesterday, I betcha.
I have, too. My beard grows fast. Have to shave twice a day, unusually.
Yeah? Who do you shave the second time, the cat?
Now, don't you get impudent, sis. You know, if I'd talked to my elders like that when I was your age, they'd have given me to the Indians.
What Indians?
What do you mean, what Indians? Indians, they were all around us where we lived.
Oh?
Out there in Arizona. I was practically brought up as a Sioux Indian. For years, my legs were all out of shape from riding horses bareback.
Gee, honest?
Yes, sir.
I always thought you were knock-kneed.
Man, that's because I gripped those ponies so hard with my knees. The minute I got off a horse, my knees would spring together. Ping! Had so much strength in my legs, I could crack coconuts with my knees.
Oh,
yes, sir. I was quite a lad, sis. I had a little bow and arrow, and by the time I was 7, I could keep 9 arrows in the air at one time.
Gee, honest?
Yep.
What'd you do, tie a string around them and toss them up, huh?
Okay, scoff if you want to. But those days of the Old West won't come again, sis.
No?
You'll be sorry you didn't listen to one who was there. You know what happened when I was 9 years old?
Sure. Sitting Bull stood up and you fell off his lap.
Oh, sir. When I was 9 years old, my pappy gave me a handful of bullets, a rifle, a skinning knife, 3 pounds of flour, a side of bacon.
Which side?
Right side. That's all that was left. He gave me a pony. Then he slaps me on the shoulder and says, "Okay, son, get out into the world. You're getting to be a burden on my family."
You were 9 years old, then?
Not quite 9. 8 years and 10 months, to be exact. So I leapt onto my pony and sat there till evening.
Why?
Because I wanted to ride away into the sunset. Nothing dramatic about leaving home at high noon. And there we went, a boy and his pony, facing every kind of danger with high hopes and a stout heart.
Gee, where'd you go, mister? Where'd you?
Well, search me, sis. Nobody ever saw a hide nor hair of us again.
Oh.
So now, if you'll excuse me,
hey,
sis,
mister,
I got...
Huh? Did a man come here with some flowers?
Yes, he did.
Who are they from?
Aren't you being just a trifle nosy, sis?
Sure.
Thanks. They were from a guy named Ralph.
Oh, boy, I win a nickel.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea? How'd you win a nickel?
Well, he took and I saw the man bring the package, and I bet him a nickel Ralph was sending Mrs. McGee some flowers. Hey, Willie, I win. You owe me a nickel, Willie. It was Ralph.
Hey, wait a minute. What the... Who... Doggone it, does everybody know Ralph but me?
The King's Men sing Don't Catch It.
When I was just a tiny tot down in Tennessee, I kept my mammy on the spot looking after me. I fooled with this and fooled with that, messing round about.
And when I'd grab my pappy's hat,
mammy dear would shout, "Don't touch it. Better leave it alone. Don't touch it. Hey, hey, you'll catch it. When pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say." When Pappy
he missed his Sunday hat down in Tennessee. He'd fuss and fuss and cuss and cuss and start to look for me. Then pretty soon I'd have a date in the old woodshed, and with remorse I'd meditate on what my mammy said. Don't touch it, can't you leave it alone? Don't touch it, nay, nay, you'll catch it, as sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say. One day I went with Pappy downtown to buy a shoe.
He said it was good for any man
to have a sip of brew. But when he went to take a nip, we heard an awful roar.
We turned around and there was Mammy
shouting through the door. Don't touch it. Can't you leave it alone? Don't touch it. Nay, nay, you'll catch it. As sure as you're born, if you don't mind what I say.
How happy were those childhood days
down in Tennessee.
The dear old-fashioned country ways
still appeal to me.
I'd gladly be a boy again to mess around about. I'd step on Pappy's derby just to hear my mammy shout. Don't touch it. Better leave it alone. Don't touch it. Hey, hey, you'll catch it. When Pappy gets home, if you don't mind what I say.
McGee, these flowers fill three big vases. Don't they look beautiful?
I think they're gaudy and overdone. And in terrible taste.
I love to see you jealous, McGee.
I'm not jealous. I'm merely a... Hey, what'd you do to your hair?
Oh, I just tried combing it a different way. You like it?
Yes, I... Hey, are you wearing your new dress?
What? Oh, yes. I just thought I'd slip it on to see how it went with the new hairdo.
Oh, Molly, I don't like this. My gosh, some stranger sends you a handful of silly asters and you go all coquettish. Fix your hair all different and wear new clothes.
Now, don't be silly. Though I will admit it's stimulating to get such a gorgeous bouquet. Mm. Say, McGee, the next time you're in Kramer's drugstore, remind me to try that new shade of lipstick.
Hmm?
I think they call it person to person.
That's disgusting. Person to person. Oh, come in.
Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. Hello, McGee.
What do you want, Aerosmith?
Himself is in a bad mood today, Doctor.
If I ever come over here and find him in a good mood, I'll bake you a cake. What's griping you, my boy? Draft board reclassify you LH2?
What's LH?
Level-headed. Flat on top.
Never mind the wisecracks, Doctor. When a guy's home is being broken up, a guy don't feel like swapping banter with guys.
Oh, now, McGee, you foolish boy.
He's foolish, all right, but he's no boy. Stop running your hands through your hair, beanbag. Get your chin off your solar plexus and tell the old family physician your troubles.
It's Ralph.
Ralph who?
We don't know.
Oh, fine. What has Ralph been doing, writing limericks on your sidewalk?
He's been sending my wife flowers. That's what he's been doing. And if I ever lay my dukes on him...
Oh, that, Ralph.
What's that? You mean you know who it is?
You too? Does everybody know this guy but me?
And me.
You mean you don't know who Ralph is?
I know who he will be. He'll be the guy they find floating down the river with every bone in his body broken by a blunt instrument named Trevor McGee.
But, Doctor, tell us now, who is he?
What time is it?
4:12. Why?
I can answer your question in 2 minutes.
2 minutes, but how?
You'll answer it right now, or by George, I'll pin your ears so far back, you'll have to add 3 feet to your stethoscope.
Don't get ambitious, my flabby little friend. If I didn't know you were upset about this thing, I'd hang a shanty on your eye that would solve the housing problem for the next 100 years.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Why, you overbearing, body-wrecking, supercharging, pulse-punching...
What time is it? What time is it?
4:14.
Well, turn on the radio.
Huh? What for?
Turn it on!
Oh, okay. Turn on the radio.
All right, dearie.
I don't know what you think you're
going to... Now, be quiet, McGee. Listen.
Our great pleasure to announce that the lucky winner today is Mrs. Fibber McGee of 79 Wistful Vista. As you know, every Tuesday, some lucky lady receives a gorgeous bouquet of blossoms from Ralph, the friendly florist. Remember, friends, when you think of flowers, think of Ralph. And now we present Bing Sinatra in a transcribed...
Catch on?
Oh, this is...
ridiculous.
Fibber McGee and Molly was broadcast on NBC. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and you are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week across the World Wide Web. Jim and Marion Jordan had a writer, Donald Quinn, who was so indispensable that they made him an equal partner in all the profits of their long-running career. Donald Quinn was indeed a master of the English language, and the great writing with alliteration, spoonerisms, and puns set Fibber McGee and Molly's show apart. The next show we bring you is a wonderful example of the love of language in the show's writing. In this episode, Fibber tries to improve his grammar. It also includes Gail Gordon as Mayor Latrivia, and the maid Lena, who was voiced by male actor Gene Carroll. Bill Thompson voices the character of henpecked Mr. Wimple. This is Fibber McGee and Molly, first broadcast May 6, 1947, on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Gene Carroll, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. By now, you're probably through with your spring cleaning. I'll bet your house is a picture. But how's it going to look a couple of months from now? Dirt does tend to come in and spoil your good work, doesn't it? Well, that's why you ought to make sure your home is wax protected right now. Believe me, a coat of Johnson's Wax works wonders in keeping things shining clean. Polish your floors with Johnson's Wax, and weeks from now, they'll still have a mellow, smooth wax luster. The only cleaning they'll need is a light dusting from time to time. That goes for your furniture and woodwork, too, and 100 other things around your home. An occasional shining coat of Johnson's Wax not only gives everything it touches a lovely, rich polish, it protects things against dirt and moisture, makes them easy to dust. Why not try this wonderful wax method of housekeeping? Wax makes your housework so much easier, and nothing else gives you such a bright, charming home for so little cost. Johnson's Wax, paste, liquid, and cream. The handyman about the house is at it again. Yes, with a hammer in his hot little hand and a bruise on his fat little thumb, he's fixing a few things. What was that?
Window shade.
He's fixing it.
Oh. Well, as I was saying, the handyman is at it again as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
It's fixed now.
For good?
For good.
Good.
Took me a while to get around to it, but now that I've did it, I...
Please,
just...
now, McGee, not I've did it. Say I have done it.
Yeah, but you ain't the one that done it. I done it myself, and now that I've did it,
McGee,
I don't...
McGee?
Huh?
Have you taken a peek at your English lately? Why, it's terrible.
What do you mean my English is terrible? I'm the only guy at the Elks Club that can spin a cue ball hard enough to make it change direction in the middle... Oh! Oh, you mean my talking English.
Why, sure. Your grammar, you're getting very careless.
I am?
Sure. For instance, you know it isn't correct to say ain't.
Yeah, but you know what Will Rogers said. A lot of people that ain't saying ain't eating. And I'm eating, ain't I?
Just the same, dearie, it's a bad example. Children hear you and repeat what you say.
You know, grown people have to set an example.
Well, maybe you're right, kiddo. I'll watch it after this.
Good.
After all, I studied English in high school, and I ain't the type of guy that he forgets everything that he ever...
Watch it now.
Huh? Oh. I say I'm not the type of individual whom, upon graduation, relegates his education... That dead ratted window shade. But that ain't exasperating. I thought when I fixed that, I'd done a good job, but that's the bummest job I ever did.
Oh, McGee, that's awful.
I know it is. The spring don't catch good. It ain't ever going to catch good if something ain't done. Should have went to the hardware store and brung home a new spring, and if I'd knew this was to happen, that's what I would have did.
McGee.
Huh?
Will you please repeat that sentence?
Sure. I said I should have gone to the hardware store and brought home. My gosh, I are getting kind of sloppy, aren't I? Maybe I better go to night school this summer. Let them learn me good English all over again.
Teach you?
Yeah, I certainly am getting careless.
You don't have to go to night school. I'll keep checking you.
Oh.
And I have a book on correct usage around here someplace. Maybe Lena knows where it is. Lena! Oh, Lena!
I think I know exactly the book you mean, honey. Isn't that the one that's called Lay That Adverb Down, Babe? Or Who Threw the Infinitive in Mrs. Murphy's Predicate?
That's the one, Lena. Mr. McGee wants to read it. He's having a little trouble with his participles.
Oh, the poor man. You know, my father had trouble with his participles, and they finally had to operate.
What'd they think he had, Lena?
$300.
No, what did they operate on him for?
$275.
Now, we're getting off the subject, Lena. I want to read this book because my wife thinks my grammar needs repairing.
Well, it's awful important to speak good English, Mr. McGee. What if you should want to go to England sometime? Gosh, you'd feel awful if you just had appointed things you wanted.
Like the crown jewels or something.
Yes. You know, my brother was going to Ireland once, and he studied garlic for 6 weeks before he went.
Not garlic, Lena. In Ireland, they speak Gaelic.
He knows that now, Mr. McGee. But, you know, for 6 weeks, nobody could get close enough to him to tell him.
Did he like Ireland, Lena?
Well, he had a pretty rough time in Dublin, honey. You see, he owns a big citrus grove in Arizona, and when they asked him what did he do for a living, he told them he was an orange man. He raises walnuts now. Well, I'll try and find your book for you, honey.
Well, I better get this window shade fixed again, Molly. I can't have that thing scaring the bejunior out of everybody.
I think you'll be glad you brushed up on your grammar, dearie. It'll help you socially, too.
Well, believe me, baby, from now on I watch my language. I'm not going to permit myself ever again to lapse into vulgarity.
That's my boy. I know you can do it if you try.
Sure I can. I'll bet you anything you want to bet that I don't say ain't again today.
Well, people told me when I married you that I was a born gambler, so I'll just take that wager.
$5, huh? From the first one that says ain't.
$5 it is.
Yeah.
I'm going out and help Lena find that book of grammar.
Okay.
You can't get started on this thing too soon, you know.
Okay, Tootsie. There goes a good kid. She thinks I don't know the difference between good grammar and bum grammar. And I don't think I do either. As long as she don't think I don't think I know, I think what she thinks I don't know. Come in, thank goodness.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, Teeny. Yeah. To what, my dear, must we attribute the honor of this unexpected visitation?
Well, I was... You feel okay, mister? You talk kind of funny.
Well, perhaps your little ears are unaccustomed to the sound of good grammar and perfect English, sis. For your information, I have resolved to forgo vulgarity in my speech. I'm kicking the friction out of my diction.
Oh. Gee, that's dandy, I bet you.
Yeah.
My teacher, Miss Eagley, says that slang may be picturesque, but it's too frequently the refuge of the uneducated.
Yeah, well, Oh, she did, eh?
Mm-hmm. And she... Hmm?
I said she did, eh?
Did what?
She said that.
Said what?
What you said.
Who?
Oh. Your teacher, Miss Yegley.
I know. That's exactly what she said, I bet you. She says literate persons rarely utilize slang.
That's right. That's right. Your teacher's cooking on the front burner now, sis. She's hep. As a matter of fact, I got a little bet on with my wife, sis, that I'll never say A-I-N-T again. I bet her $5.
I'm pretty good in grammar, too, I bet you.
Yeah?
You know the eight parts of speech, mister?
Oh, are you kidding, sis? That's elementary. My gosh, any dumbbell knows the eight parts of speech. Lungs, vocal cords, throat, tongue, teeth. Teeth, lips, cheeks, and if you talk like I do, the nose.
Oh, that isn't right, I bet you.
No?
No, it's verb, adverb, noun, pronoun, adjective, interjection, conjunction, and preposition.
Hey, maybe I better write those down. Let me see now. Verse, adverse, noun, ad noun, injection, confusion, objective, and proposition. Now, thanks very much.
Well, don't mention it, mister. Oh, boy, are you ever in trouble.
Yeah?
I could give you one other little tip that would help you a lot, too, I bet you.
Yeah?
Our teacher told it to us.
Well, spill it, sis. Spill it.
It's a little trick, and our teacher says if you learn it real good, you won't hardly ever make any mistakes in grammar at all, I bet you.
No kidding. Well, geez whiz. Come on, let's have it. What do I have to do? Huh?
Well, first you close your mouth real tight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then what?
That's all. Just hold it. Can't go wrong. So long, mister.
Still think that's good to know.
Billy Mills and the orchestra, and I Believe.
Value out of that grammar book, McGee?
Not much. No pictures in it. Just words.
Well, I suppose it would be just as helpful if I correct you now and then. You won't mind, will you?
Mind? I should say not, baby. Anytime my adverbs come loose, you just give me a swift boot in the conjunction.
Very well.
But I say, my dear, I don't suppose one's use of an occasional colloquialism is of sufficient importance to disqualify one.
How's that again, dearie?
I was referring to idiomatic expressions, my dear. The minor variations of language to be heard in geographically separated communities. Constructions typical of definite localities.
Look, sweetheart, let's call the whole thing off, will you?
No, I'm serious about this, kiddo. I realize I've been careless with my language. I'm making a genuine effort.
Well, all right, but if I'd known what I was getting into, I'd never...
Enter.
Oh, it's Dr. Gamble, McGee. Hello, doctor.
Good day, my dear. And how are you, Smudge Pot?
Smudge Pot, sir? I trust you will not take it amiss, dear doctor, if I should point out that the use of slang by a person of education is an indication of deterioration. To an individual of professional eminence, the utterance of gutter expressions is somewhat appalling.
May I sit down?
Pray do, doctor.
I had a patient once who talked like that, a professor. He had 6 university degrees and was shot while playing the piano in a beer garden.
Well, it was jolly good of you to stop in, doctor. Molly, leave us have some tea and sandwiches.
Lettuce, McGee.
Yes, leave us have some lettuce sandwiches. And a spot of tea, too.
Would you like some tea, doctor? It won't be a bit of trouble.
Very stimulating, old chap. Quite a tonic. Full of tonic acid, you know.
It's tannic acid.
Hmm?
Will you please stop yammering like a stock company Englishman? Molly, I have seen this tenderized ham strike more poses than a Gus Sun acrobat. But this one has me baffled. Who does he think he is today, Lord Eager Beaverbrook?
Oh, come now, my good medico. Surely. Surely when one makes a conscious effort to improve oneself, leave us give a little credit to him.
What were those last words again?
I said leave us give to him a little credit.
He shouldn't say leave us, McGee.
Oh, yes, he should. And I think I will.
I say something wrong?
Yes, Pet. Leave us do this or that is not correct.
Huh?
It should be let us or allow us or permit us.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, I haven't said that certain word.
You mean?
A-I-N-T.
I know, and I'm proud of you, McGee. If everybody...
Dad rat that dad-ratted window shade. If that isn't the most exasperating thing. I thought I had that fixed. I done it 4 times,
and
I...
You did it 4 times.
Yeah, I did it 4 times, and if anybody thinks I'm going to spend all my time messing around with a screwdriver and a hammer trying to fix it...
Hello,
that...
Molly. Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Good day, my boy.
The door was closed, so I walked right in.
We'd have left it open, but you might have thought we were out.
That's the silliest conversation I ever heard. And I've heard plenty of them in 12 years.
Anything on your mind, Mr. Wilcox?
Not a thing, Molly, not a thing.
Nice of you to stop in, my boy. Have a cigar.
No, thanks, pal. I've got one.
You got 2? Thanks. I'll smoke it after dinner. Well, what do you think of the crisis in Indochina, old chap? Do you think the territorial aims of the provincial government will predominate the military spearhead? Or is it your opinion that certain powers will subsidize a mandate? Or neither?
What are you talking about?
He's just exercising his English, Mr. Wilcox. This is Be Kind to Participles Week around here.
I decided I was talking much too sloppy.
Yes. Well, I wish you luck, pal. There's nothing like good grammar to make an impression on people.
My very words, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, but you can get into trouble with ordinary words, too.
How's that?
Well, remember, Molly? Remember that little town of Bell back in Illinois?
Bell?
Yeah.
Bell, Illinois. Oh, sure I do. Where they had the hat factory.
Yeah, yeah. Made wonderful hats down there. Sold like hotcakes. In fact, they went so fast that everybody used to say that things went like a hat out of Bell. Ordinary words, but I always got spanked for saying them.
I see what you mean. Well, I've got to be pretty careful with my speech, too, you know. Minute I make a mistake, Racine shoots me a telegram that curls my hair.
So that explains it. I always thought you had a natural wave, Mr. Wilcox.
I don't believe I ever heard you pull any bum grammar, Junior.
Oh, I did once, long time ago. Yeah. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I said something about how Johnson's wax is the finest protection that money can buy for floors, furniture, and woodwork.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and then I said, it not only imparts a brilliant luster that resists dust and dampness, but gives your home an atmosphere of hospitality and friendliness.
What was wrong with that?
Well, nothing so far, but listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, for time and labor-saving protection, for the sparkling beauty that increases the pride of possession and gives new values to your worldly goods, use Johnson's wax, always.
Where was the bad grammar?
In the next line.
Oh.
When I said, use Johnson's wax on your floors, furniture, woodwork, leather goods, windowsills, enamel surfaces, to always have an inviting home. Get it?
No.
I split an infinitive.
No.
I said to always have instead of always to have or to have always.
Oh. Waxy,
This is terrible. I'm surprised at you.
But, pal, I was only...
That's enough. That's enough. The water is under the dam.
Dearie, he said that was a long time ago.
Please, my dear. He has abused our hospitality. Anybody that would split an infinity would steal the silverware.
I know. I agree with you, pal. And you know what I'm going to do?
Steal the silverware?
No, go home.
Wasn't that a little harsh, dearie? Splitting an infinitive is not a hanging offense, you know.
Well, I'm not the type of guy that is too quick to always condemn a man.
You just split one yourself.
What? I did? My gosh, is it that easy? I've been too hasty with Harlow, I guess.
Well, I hope he forgives you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll never see him again. At least till next Tuesday. Pull that shade down again, will you, McGee? It looks terrible.
Sure. Well, looks like you wouldn't win that bet, eh, kiddo? I haven't said that word.
No, and Mother's proud of you. I never thought you could do it.
Oh, my English is okay when I stop to think. It used to bother me when I was a young fellow, but it never gives me no trouble now.
Never gives me any trouble, McGee.
You either? Well, it shouldn't bother nobody if they just stop to think.
Come in. Oh, McGee, it's Mr. Wimple. Come in, Mr. Wimple.
Hi, Wimp.
Hello, folks.
Have a chair, Mr. Wimple.
No, thank you, Mrs. McGee. I can't sit down.
Too busy, Wimp?
No, too bruised, Mr. McGee. Sweetie Face, that's my big old wife. Sweetie Face spanked me this afternoon. I was naughty.
Heavenly days, Mr. Wimple. She actually spanked you?
Yes, but I fooled her. I stuck my bird book in the back of my britches.
Your what, Wimp?
My bird book. After my spanking, I found that two blackbirds, a bobolink, and a blue jay were badly battered.
But what brought this all on, Mr. Wimple? What'd you do?
Oh, I guess I was a little bit mischievous, Mrs. McGee.
Yeah?
I never should have put that turtle in her girdle.
My gosh, Wimp, you put a turtle in her girdle?
Yes. I didn't know it was the one she was going to wear this morning.
Where'd you get the turtle, Mr. Wimple?
Well, a friend of mine sent it to me, Mrs. McGee. He borrowed my car for a long trip, and several days later, I got a package and a letter that said, "Dear Wallace, your car turned turtle. Take good care of it. Regards, Charlie." Wasn't that ridiculous? And when the mailman delivered it, he made a terrible mistake.
What did he do, Wimp?
Well, he was just handing me the package when Sweetie Face walked in, and the mailman said, "Maybe your mother would like to sign for it, Sonny." Oh, that was bad. A pall was cast over the whole room.
Really, Mr. Wimple?
Yes. Paul. That's our mailman's name. Well, goodbye.
Kingsmen, and ain't we got fun?
Every morning and every evening, ain't we got fun? No money, oh, but honey, ain't we got fun?
The rent ain't paid, dear.
We ain't got a bus.
No, but smiles were made, dear.
For people like us. In the winter and in the summer, ain't we got fun? Times are bum and getting bummer. Ain't we got fun?
Ain't nothing surer. The rich get rich and the poor get children.
In the meantime and in between time, ain't we got fun? In the morning, in the evening, A-I-N-apostrophe-T, ain't we got fun? In the winter, in the summer, A-I-N-apostrophe-T, ain't we got fun? In the winter, in the summer, ain't we got fun? Times are bum and growing bummer. Ain't we got
surer. The rich get rich, and the poor get children. In the meantime, we'll be cozy, and everything will be so rosy. After everything is said and done, the word is haven't we got fun.
Hey, Molly.
Yes, dearie?
There's still a lot of things about grammar and English that I don't understand.
Such as what?
Well, I'm writing a letter to the House Committee of the Elks Club, see?
Yes?
I'm putting in a complaint because last Wednesday and last Thursday, while I was sleeping in a chair, somebody gave me a hot foot. Both days.
So?
Well, I don't know if I should say somebody give me two hot foots or two hot feet.
Well, that's simple, dearie. Just say Wednesday I was given a hot foot, also Thursday.
Oh, good. That's the way I'll put it.
Come in. Oh, it's Mayor Latrivia. Good day, Your Honor.
Good day, Molly. Hello, McGee.
How do you do, Mr. Mayor? Decent of you to stop by, you know. One is always glad to welcome one's old friends when one's old friends drop in on one.
How true.
If himself here seems a bit stuffy today, Mr. Mayor, don't worry about it. He's improving on his English.
Really? That's very interesting, McGee.
Yeah, and I can do it, too. Lots of dumber guys than I am have learned their self-grammar.
Taught themselves, McGee.
How could they have taught themselves if they hadn't learned their selves first?
Very good point, dearie.
As a matter of fact, I and Molly have got a little bet on Latriv. $5 from the first one that says A-I-N-T.
Well, I wish you both luck. I remember I had a little trouble in school with English myself.
You did, Latrell?
Yes. Somehow or other, I couldn't seem to keep my tenses straight.
Your what, Mr. Mayor?
My tenses.
Oh, you don't mean tenses, boy. You mean tense. Tent is singular, you see, and the plural is tense.
Yeah, no wonder you had trouble with your English if you went around talking that way.
Yeah, I suppose you read books, smoked pipes, and drank coaxes all day.
I beg your pardon. I merely said
hey,
that
what were you doing with a tent in school anyway, Your Honor? Playing Indian?
He was probably in military school, Molly.
Oh.
I was not in skillet removal.
Hmm?
Military school. The tenses I had trouble with were not tents to live in. They
the
were
tent
the...
was never built that was fit to live in, Latrice. I remember the trouble we had with them pup tenses in the First World War. The big war.
Pup tents were the ones where you slept with your head out in the rain, your dogs in the tents, weren't they?
Yeah, they
please,
were.
Please, please, I'm not talking about pup tents. I simply meant...
Don't matter what kind you meant, Latrive. They're all trouble. I mind one time the pole fell down in on the mess tent. Right at chow time, the pole fell down in on the mess tent. Of all the messes I've ever saw, that mess in the mess tent was the worst messed up mess I ever saw.
Oh, no, please, please. This is ridiculous.
It is?
Yes. Let me start all over.
Go ahead, Your Honor. It'll probably come out the same way, but try it.
Sure, we'll go along with you, boy. We're game.
All right. Now, when I was in grammar school, some of my English exercises gave me a little trouble.
Made you sore, did they?
Did what make me sore?
The exercises you took in English. What were they, setting up exercises? Maybe you're muscle bound. Maybe you got a Charlie horse. Maybe
I don't have a Charlie bound muscle horse.
Huh?
I didn't say anything about exercising canvas tents.
Well, you...
Canvas tents. When I said the fast pants... The fast pants...
You said...
The lamp. You were the one who popped out of the drag tent.
I said...
Dragged out of the pup fence.
No.
A tent. A tent. I merely said my past trouble was the two fences.
No, no,
fence. I never... McGee?
Yes?
I'd like to know one thing.
What is it, Your Honor?
How did he ever get... What?
Dab-ratted shade. If that ain't the most exasperating...
Molly!
What?
You said the word, Molly. You said A-I-N-T. $5, please.
Here you are, and money well spent.
Huh?
Oh, what a relief.
You ain't kidding, kiddo. Here's your dough back. It ain't worth the strain.
Ain't it the truth?
Thank you.
you have a nice home or apartment, you like to keep it looking its best, don't you? The same with your clothes. You'd never dream of going around in a dress that was soiled and spotty. Then why is it that so many people let their automobiles get dirty and gloomy looking? Now, if it cost a lot of money and required a lot of hard work to keep it clean and shining, there might be some excuse for driving around in a dingy-looking car. But with Johnson's Car New, well, car polishing is really quick and easy. Car New both cleans and polishes in one quick application, does two jobs at once. There just isn't any other car polish that's easier to use. You simply apply Car New, rubbing only hard enough to loosen the road grime. Let it dry to a white powder, wipe it off, and in no time your car will be spotless with a bright, shining polish to be proud of. Why not take a tip from millions of other enthusiastic car owners and clean and polish your family bus with quick polishing Johnson's Car New this week? Car New is spelled C-A-R-N-U. Johnson's Car New, a really swell car polish.
You know something, Molly? I've been checking my grammar against this book, and I'm a very superior guy.
Well, good for you.
Betcha. This book lists 40 common errors that most people make at some time or other.
And?
I got 67 so far that I make every day. I'm way above the average.
Well, fine.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Old Time Radio Hour. I hope you enjoyed all the wordplay in that last episode, and I hope you can join us again next week for more laughs when we bring you more classic radio comedy. Until then, I'm your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.